You know, as I prepared for this message and everything, I actually got to thinking about it again this morning, and I was thinking, I wonder how many pastors ever preach this section I'm going to look at here. Because it's different. You know, and I truly believe that the Word of God, every single word in the Bible, is for us, without a doubt. And that every single word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we are to understand it all. So, we're in 1 Corinthians. As we go through the scriptures, and I was sharing even earlier this morning with somebody, I don't just pick out topics I'm going to teach on. As we go through the scriptures, whatever's there, that's what we teach on. So in 1 Corinthians 7, we'll be starting in verse 25. The title is Single or Married. Now this section we're going through today deals with believers who are unmarried and widows. Should they marry? And we don't know that people, we do know, I should say, that people do fall in love and grow in love, and it's a natural part of human life. It is normal for men and women to fall in love, and it is good to marry. I'll just say that without doubt and go from there. There are times when certain couples should not marry, and we see the divorce rates and all that. The church in Corinth, and we need to understand why this is here. The church in Corinth wrote a letter to the Apostle Paul and had a whole list of questions asking. This was one of the questions. So as it's written his response in here, we need to go over this. And the question was, should single believers and widows marry? That was the gist of it. We do need to remember, and I say this again, that all scripture is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we understand that. So we're going to read this section starting verse 25. Now concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you've not sinned. And if your betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you that. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. For now on, let those who have wives live as they have none, and those who mourn as they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife, and his interests are divided. And the unmarried and betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly towards the betrothed, if his passions are strong and he has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having the desire under control, has determined this in his heart, to keep her as betrothed, he will do well. So then he who marries his betrothed does well, and he who refrains from marriage will do even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet in my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. And I think that I, too, have the Spirit of God. A lot is written there as we're looking at this section. So Paul opens this up, and he's talking about singles, unmarried widows. And he says, now concerning the betrothed, the word betrothed there is betrothed or virgins. I have no command from the Lord. So he's telling them, this is not coming from God on this. But I give my judgment as Lord's mercy that is trustworthy. So we have to understand this. As Paul is giving this, this is a man who really did not get the direct command from God on this. But he has the ability to judge because of his extreme closeness with the Lord. He knew the love and mercy of God. And he knew what God's will was, without a doubt. He sought the Lord with everything. It's quite an amazement. So Paul was faithful, completely faithful to the Lord in all things. And he could be faithful in giving his judgment. What was to do, what was to happen. It says a betrothed virgin. This usually in the text means women. That's who he's talking to. But in this text, he's referring to both sexes. So he's talking men and women in this area. So here it comes as he says, I think that in view of this present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. Are you bound to wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you're not sin. If you betrothed marriage, she's not sin either. We see this. My first thought about this when I read this latter section here is, what is the distress that the church is going through? It says, I think that in view of the present distress. So you got to wonder, what is the distress that the church in Corinth is going through? Well, guess what? Scripture's silent. We don't know what that distress is. We don't know. It's not laid out. It's not researched. You can't say what it is. We do know and always know that churches are always being persecuted. Now, I want us to think a minute about the time when Paul wrote this letter that the church is under persecution. But it was interesting as I was preparing this. Yesterday, I happened to click on the news for a very short time. And it happened to say that Christians right now are being persecuted more than any time in history. And I thought, wow, this is really right up our field here. They always have been, and they always will be persecuted as Christians. And we're going to be persecuted, and we have been since Christ came. And I thought about, what is this distress? And we don't know, because I think when this is written, and it's written, it could be utilized by every single church. Every single church goes through times of distress over fill in the blank. Whatever that distress is. And so if Paul were to say, during this distress of, and he gave a specific thing, then most people would think, well, his teaching is only about what that one thing was. Well, this way we can see that every church can relate to this, because every church goes through some sort of distress, persecution, problems. The actual word distress here in the original Greek text means calamities. Calamities. Churches go through calamities, and they do. So it could apply to anything the church goes through. I like that. So Paul tells them that whatever state they are in, and he's talking, remember, he's answering a question that the church in Corinth here had written. And they had asked a lot of questions. Should unmarried, should single, should widows be married again? And Paul tells them, whatever state they're in, married, single, whatever, stay that way. But why? Why does Paul say that? But he does say marriage is normal. If it's not sin that couple get into the married, marriage is normal. It's right. It's good. But if you get married, he adds one other thing. You're going to have worldly troubles. You're going to have worldly troubles. And we see as Paul says this, dealing with that. Marriage does add, and we know, responsibilities. Responsibilities. Marriage requires a lot of care in your decisions that you're going to make. You see, you need to consider your spouse. Instead of making decisions that are only based on you, you have to think about your spouse. And we know, because I know I've shared it with you, we're to be, as believers, other-centered. So we should put our spouse's thoughts and feelings ahead of ours. We should. Do we always do that? I'll leave you that up to you. So, as believers, I want us to understand, and as true believers, we're to share the gospel to this dying world. And that's the whole key to everything. We're to share the gospel. And when you do that, and if you're sharing the gospel, and I can attest to it without doubt, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardships. And I can tell you, the attacks can come heavy, heavy, heavy at times. In fact, they can become so heavy that I catch myself at times asking God, can I have 3 or 4 hours this afternoon, Lord? I can just rest. Because they come from every angle possible. Well, being married, and we got to think about this. If we're to share the gospel, and the gospel is a simple message, right? It's simple, but the greatest act of love. God sent his son to die for us so that we can have eternal life with him forever. Christ took our sins upon himself. If you're to be married, your spouse, you got to think about this. Is your spouse as committed as you are to Christ? Are you as committed to Christ as much as your spouse is? Because if you're not, there's going to be some problems there. That's the worldly problems that can occur. And I think that's one thing that if you're single, widowed, or whatever, you got to think about. You really do. If you're going to get married, you need to consider your spouse's commitment to the Lord. Now, also in Corinthians, we're going to see where God says, do not be unequally yoked. Well, we can do that. And we'll see that. Because understand, as a believer, you are going to suffer for following Christ. It's going to happen. But as being married, you're going to suffer together. It's going to happen. So standing strong and remaining strong with the Lord is critical. It is critical. Very critical. And I think about that as when Paul's talking here about men married, widowed, single, should they be? Now, Paul gives us some more explanation. He says in verse 29, this is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as they've had none, and those who mourn, not mourning, and rejoicing. And it goes through the details there. This is what we have to understand. When Paul wrote this letter, this was about 2,000 years ago, and he's saying, hey, the Lord's coming back. It's very, very quick. How quick do you think it's coming back now? Are we closer? We see what's happening in the world, and yeah. By all means, Scripture's playing it out. We're getting very close. So what as believers were to do? We're to reach out to the lost. Because time is very short. Very short. at the time for the doing the Lord's work is coming to an end really quick. And I was thinking about this morning and was talking, once my work is done for the Lord, when I've done everything He's called me to do, I'm out of here. Because you think about it, I live for the Lord and His glory and His glorification. When I've done everything He's called me, He's going to take me home. Because why? Am I going to just sit here and spend time mowing lawns or whatever? No. While I'm here on this earth, I am to proclaim that gospel, no matter where I am or what I've done. It doesn't matter. And I realize this more and more in my life because I remember going into prisons to preach the message. Preaching at home Bible studies. Doing children's ministries. It's all, whatever it is, it's to reach all the people with the glorious news of the gospel message. Now, when you think about it, when the Lord comes back, all these things, mourning, rejoice, that's over. That's over when He comes back. We're not going to be dealing with the world anymore when the Lord comes back. And things are going to happen that are going to dampen your ability to witness. And we have to do that. And I'll guarantee you this, folks, you can witness Christ. And also, I have witnessed Christ to people in some of the craziest places and situations. Doors that God opens for me. And it wasn't until afterwards I realized, wow, Lord, You did that. One thing I want us to understand, and you can look at this world, at all that's going on in this world right now. We don't need to be overwhelmed by the world. Not at all. The world, as Scripture says, is passing away. It's passing away. And we don't need to be worried about it. Remember, Christ won the war. Christ won the war on the cross. As believers, we have eternal life. Forever. We're to live for the Lord in every area of our lives. That means it doesn't matter if you're going to lunch today, if you're visiting family, if you are whatever. We're to live our life for the Lord. We're to share that. No matter what our situation is, everything in this world is passing away. Paul tells us here in his letter to the church at Corinth, hey, it's quick. It's a lot quicker now. It's been close to 2,000 years. Everything in this world will pass away except for one thing. There's only one thing that won't. Your relationship with God. That's it. That will be for eternal as a believer. No matter what. Look at Romans 13, verses 11 and 12 for me, please. Besides this, you know that the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand, so then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. We're to put on the armor of Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, hey, salvation's nearer. Nearer than it's ever been before. Also look at James 4:14. Yet do you not know what tomorrow will bring? Does anybody know what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody does, do they? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Now I've used this example before, I'll share it again. A mist. See how it says? Your light, you're a mist. Take a spray bottle. Mist, gone. That's your life. Short. How do you compare that to eternal life with God? How long's eternity? Forever. But our lives are a mist. So our lives are short. We have a short amount of time. We have a short amount of time to reach the lost. We've been called to reach the lost of this generation here and now. That's what we want to do. Share the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He took your sins upon you. And if you believe in Him and trust in Him, you have eternal life. That's the glorious message. And then in verse 32, he says, I want you to be free of anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. He's focused on that. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried and betrothed woman is anxious about things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. Remember, and I got to say this again, this letter that is written, 1 Corinthians, was the first letter written that was written to the church. It's written to believers. It's not written to the lost. A person who is not married is likely to be on fire for the Lord. Likely to be on fire for the Lord. What is their focus? The Lord. The person who wants to please the Lord all the time. Being married, this brings on a whole lot of extra cares. And we know that, those who have been married or are married. Cares for your spouse, which should be. This is what Paul's talking about. Doing things to please your spouse takes away your complete focus on the Lord. It's not bad, though. It is not bad. Paul's just clarifying, hey, you got to remember, the church was just starting out at this time. This was the early church, the beginning church, shortly after Christ came. Marriage is good. And to give real understanding, and I'll show you the difference really good, and I think it's when you have a married or a single, the focus of the life. And we're going to go right to what Jesus shows us. Put up for me Luke 10, please. Now, as Jesus was on his way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary and Martha, who sat at the Lord's feet. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Mary's focus was on the Lord. Martha's was on all the other worldly things, serving, cleaning, making sure, all that. And that's understandable. It happens. But look what Jesus said. The main thing is your focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. And here we have this, in verse 35, Paul says, I say this for your own benefit. So, folks, it's for everybody's benefit in here. Not to lay up any restraint on you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Being focused on the Lord is an undivided focus. Look at Mary's focus is on the Lord. Martha isn't. All the other things that go with that. And when he says here, it's for your benefit. It's for, or you may say, for your profit. It is for the believer's advantage. It's for your advantage. Paul is not saying that they shouldn't marry. No, not at all. Give thought and listen to the Lord, like we should do in every decision. Where am I to live? Who am I to work for? Who am I to marry? Who am I to be with? Where am I to go? We should be seeking the Lord on this. You know, for years I worked in the construction industry, and every time I would finish whatever project I was doing, all right, Lord, where you got me going now? I got sent all over the place. And God opened doors beyond my imagination. I shared the gospel all over this country. What a blessing. What a blessing. And in fact, when I was doing a project in Las Vegas, You're not going to believe it, but I'm not the sharpest pencil, folks. I'll just tell you that. I was complaining to the Lord because I wasn't within 100 miles of my house. At the same time I'm complaining to him in my own heart, I'm sharing the gospel with 3 or 4 guys in my hotel room. It wasn't until afterward I go, what an idiot I am, Lord. See, sometimes we don't really realize what's happening. Those guys got the message. I had to go over 100 miles to get to him to share that message. Now, being married, there are things that can interfere with your devotion. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. There are things that can interfere with that. I get up very early in the morning. Very early. There are some times where I am called and I'm out late or whatever, and I don't get up as early. Maybe it's, and things can happen. Now, I go into the living room, and that's where I do my devotions. There are occasional times where both Cindy and I wake up at the same time, and she'll come down and sit there, and I'm like, this is my time. This is my time with the Lord. Because I talk out loud when I'm talking to him. I'm praying, I'm crying, whatever the case, and I feel restraint. Well, she's understood this. So she'll stay in bed, whatever, until she hears me moving around, then I'm done, and that's good. That's good. But I say this, Paul said to single and married, you will both be blessed by the Lord. Mary and Martha were both blessed by the Lord. Martha was married. Mary wasn't. Both will be blessed. And both, married, single, widow, doesn't matter, can be used by God to glorify Him. And that's the whole purpose of everything. Put up for me Romans 12, 1 and 2, please. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. The things that are happening in this world, folks, right now are an atrocity. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and you renew your mind by the Scriptures. You got a question on something? I guarantee it'll be answered in here. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. When you are praying, what am I doing, where am I going, all the different things, and you're devoting and you're reading every day, I will pray and I get my answer within minutes. And I go, well, Lord, how did you know I was going to be praying about that? It is the Word of God. This is the only book written by God. All the writers are in here and inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is God's word to you. Every single word in here is there. There's no filler. And it'll answer your questions. It'll answer all your questions. And we see that. These next verses that we're going to be looking at here, and it talks about this one teaching, whether it's betrothed or virgins, are to be treated honorably. Whether they marry or they remain single. Look what the word says in verse 36. If anyone thinks he is not behaving properly towards the betrothed, if his passions are strong and has to be, let him do as he wishes. Let them marry. It is no sin. Believing men and women, virgins, are free to marry. You're free to marry. The only person, as we look at this, that would not be, if God called them to remain single. And that can be for a time frame. We have an excellent example. The missionaries, Dave and Rebecca, who we support over in Spain. Rebecca went over there as a missionary, as a young woman. No intention of ever getting married. For 20, 30 years, whatever it was, never married. And then Dave came into her life. And I remember talking, and she'd say, is this really from you, Lord? They're married now. Now they serve together. She was faithful. She was faithful to serve the Lord. But now they're there to support each other. And, you know, as they've gotten older, they're there to support each other. Because what you have to understand, it does say these passions, if they're strong, most likely they are, get married. Get married. Make sure he's the right one for you. God will confirm that with you, without a doubt. Both believers, both love each other, and God has confirmed it with both of them, then they get married. And that's what happens. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us here. You got to seek the Lord in every decision you make. Every decision you make. You want God's blessing? He'll bless you anyway. I guarantee it. He blesses us beyond what we can compare, even imagine. But do that. It says, but whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity, but having the desire under control, has determined this in his heart. To keep her as betrothed, he does well. Well, there are believers who are called by God, and God has given them control, and they remain single to serve the Lord. Perfect. Perfect. This is a special calling, because we know the flesh is weak. The flesh is really weak. A person would need a very strong confirmation by the Lord. Definitely. And how do you know what the Lord's doing for you? You're in his word. You're praying. You're seeking him. But Paul does say, so then he who marries his betrothed does well and refrains from marriage will do even better. Being married to a believer is very, very good. Very good. And marriage, the marriage will be blessed, without a doubt. But the single person sold out for the Lord will be greatly blessed also. Greatly blessed. As we look at the last couple of verses here that we're looking at, it says, a wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. Yet my judgment, she is happier if she remains as she is. I think that I too have the Spirit of God. Marriage is a contract, lifetime. When either one dies, the other is free to marry another believer. Okay? Now, well, I understand there are reasons why people get divorced. I understand that. But I want us to also understand that Paul mentions that in his writing, he's been inspired by the Holy Spirit, as with all writers in Scripture. It is possible then for some claiming to be inspired, though, Paul could be building that in a way, because he's dealing with a lot of people in Corinth that time that were spreading and teaching contrary to Scripture. But always remember, Scripture interprets Scripture. And this is why I will tell every single person, I preach like we're in the book of Corinthians now, 1 Corinthians, and I start chapter 1, verse 1, and we go through it. We happen to be in verse 7 right now, or chapter 7. Guess where we're going to be next week? Chapter 8, verse 1. As I go through it, so you can follow along. There is a Bible in every pew if you don't have one. I encourage you to follow it. There are false teachers out there. I want you reading with me to confirm what I am saying is what God says. And God will reveal that to you. Because, folks, there are false teachers. And they're teaching things. In fact, I read an article maybe about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was like 20 or 25 people that have walked away from the church, and why. And as I kept reading, and I'm going, oh my goodness. The ones that walked away had no idea what the Word of God said. Because what they were being taught and told was in total contrary to this book. completely. I want you to be strong in the Word of God. That's the most important thing for me, is as I teach, that you are growing and growing stronger in the Lord. Hey, I can be gone tomorrow, but you're going to be strong in the Lord. And there could come a time where I'm not here, and another pastor comes in, and they'll candidate, just like I had to do a candidacy. And what they teach, you could say, wait a minute. Or what you watch on television, if you watch any of the pastors, wait a minute, that. And others, you go, whoa, that's right on. We want to be on board knowing the Word of God. In fact, a very close pastor friend of mine just told me a week and a half ago. He said, Greg, the biggest problem, and he's retired, is that the people do not know what the Word of God says. And that's a shame. That's a shame. That's why as I read this, I go, man, I got a wonderful crowd here, a wonderful group of people that I know the Lord and are walking with the Lord. But he wants me to teach exactly his word so that you're continuing to grow with the Lord. And that's what's critical. So let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you and thank you for this time we've had, Lord, to study your word. And Lord, you guided everything. And I praise you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, you have instructed me what to say and how to say it, and I praise you again for that, Lord. I ask that you would plant your word in every single person's heart and mind here today, Lord. Here today. And Lord, if they have questions, let them come to you and ask you, and you'll show them. You'll instruct them. You'll guide them. You'll bless them, Lord. Strengthen them. You'll encourage them. I know you will, Lord. And I give you all glory and honor for doing that. I ask also, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our minds, Lord. Open our hearts up, Lord, and pour in your love, that it overflows into every person we come in contact with, Lord. I praise you for this, God. I praise you. And I just thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to come into your house and worship you, praising you. Glorifying you, God, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The worship team would come forward, please.